This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Series 5, Episode 6. Think for yourself. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, we talk about what fitness has to do with thinking for yourself. We have a look at the leg spin action of a young bowler, and we talk about bowling off the wrong foot. Will it hinder your progress? All that and more coming up on the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. Welcome again to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. Time for your fix of cricket coaching, playing cricket and helping you getting better at the finest sport in the world. And joining me, as always, is Mark Garraway, Director of Cricket Coaching at Millfield School. Garras, half term?
It is half term, mate. I would like to say I've put my feet up, but I haven't. So it's been as manic as always, but just a different location.
Yeah, a different kind of busy, but the same level of busy. I know that feeling very, very well.
Yeah, all good, mate. They're all good.
We've got a lot to talk about this week. There's been a lot going on in the world of cricket, and I'm sure there's some implications for those who coach and play the game or whatever level they do. There was a fascinating opinion piece this week, let's call it, about the relationship between fitness and the ability of players to think for themselves. It appeared in the Telegraph newspaper, the English newspaper, the Telegraph. It's by Simon Briggs, but he definitely drew a parallel between what he called the obsession of England's players with being fit and their inability to be creative on the field. And those are two things that you can certainly say about England during the recent Ashes tours. They were A, very fit, and B, sometimes they found themselves in a situation where they couldn't get out of it. So, Garras, how do you see that relationship between physical fitness and the ability of players to learn, think for themselves and get creative when they're in trouble?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting view that's been taken, and creativity comes from all different places, doesn't it? And I think certain people probably have a more innate way of being a bit more creative and find it easier to go to creative ideas than others. And one of the things that's come out very much from this Ashes series that's just gone by is that maybe Alistair Cook as a captain wasn't particularly creative or didn't find that particularly easy. And in fact, when he did get creative, it probably looked a bit over the top at times. And I don't know whether that's got anything to do with fitness, because Cookie is incredibly fit. But so is Michael Clarke, and he was considered to be creative. So I don't see the link personally. I do think that fitness plays a huge part in international cricket, and it was very interesting in some of the things that have come out in the fallout from the Kevin Peterson saga, was that Alistair was actually wanting the England team to be even fitter because he felt that the fitness levels of the Australian players had been far more superior than the England ones during that series. And I know that himself and Kevin had a conversation, according to newspaper reports, about that very thing on the eve of the fifth and final test match. So, there was an emphasis on more fitness rather than less fitness by the England team at that stage, because they felt that they were playing second fiddle fitness-wise to the Australian side. So I going back to the question, I think creativity and physical fitness, there's no direct link either negatively or positively. I think some people are more creative than others.
Yeah, and it wasn't in the article. The article never suggested that fitness is something that shouldn't be done at all. I think perhaps the article was suggesting that the more that you have specialists come in and help you with things, the less that you have to do for yourself. And if that's the general feeling within a camp, then I'll just rely on someone else to do it. Then when you have to rely on yourself, you haven't got those resources available to you.
Yeah, I do think it's simplifying, because the best coaches in the world have ways of facilitating conversations to encourage a player to be creative. And as we all know, and I certainly know from, for example, fielding drills, my best fielding drills have come from players over the years, not from anything that I've come up with myself. And equally, the best idea for any given individual player at the time often comes from themselves, because they know themselves much better than we do. I think our jobs as coaches or sports scientists or specialists that are supporting these guys are to open up those conversations, not to necessarily give the answers, but to find a way for that individual to establish an answer for themselves. And that ultimately is creativity. And I don't think for one minute that the England support staff haven't been doing it. I just think that it's a very easy line. And having sat in the media boxes around the world a couple of times, what you tend to find that with all the journalists is an idea will start from one place and then all of a sudden they're all writing about it. Now, in my view, that lacks creativity. So I'm going to throw that one back on Mr. Briggs.
That's very good. But it was interesting to note as well in that article. And in fact, I read the article that he referred to early on in his own article about a parent who wrote about the experiences of his son at a county trial. Did you see this one, Gareth?
I did, yeah. I had this sent to me, actually, by my assistant coach at school.
Well, it was fascinating because, I would suggest that you go and read the article because, I don't want to paraphrase too much, but to give a quick overview to those of you who haven't read it yet, it says that when he went to a county trial, the father was writing on behalf of his son, he was left exhausted and he didn't do any batting or any bowling at all. It was all related to fitness. Now, I know, Gareth, that we have spoken in the past about when you're trialing with someone, you want to put them under a bit of pressure, and sometimes you can do that by putting them under a physical pressure to see how they respond, and that's a test of character, if you like. But no batting or bowling at all. That's an interesting angle. I'd like to get the coach's point of view on what was going on there.
Yeah, completely. And look, I thought it was a good article in many ways because it put things across not just from a parent's point of view, but actually put things across in a really intelligent way as well.
Yeah.
And asked a number of questions and made a number of relationships between what they had experienced on a given day at a given county. And we have to take that into consideration. And also, it was the experience of the player and his father, which, again, you have to listen to in the context that it's written in, I suppose. I was fascinated. I thought it was a really good article, actually, or a really good letter that was written by the parent. And we can't really comment on it because it could have been that the parent wasn't around when they did some bowling and batting. It could have been that the kid had an absolute shocker when he did it and didn't want to talk about it. There can be so many different things that could be read into it, but I just like the way that it was written. I thought it was very articulate
and very personal as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Although it was one example, and you can't extrapolate from that every coach is doing that everywhere in the world, but it was certainly a very clear personal example of something that was very difficult for a player who just wanted to impress as a cricketer. Speaking of moving on, I just want to very, very quickly mention, we're tight for time this week, but I just want to very quickly mention the extraordinary achievement of Brendan McCullum in the last few days, scoring New Zealand's first triple century, which is an incredible achievement in itself. But in the situation that he was in as well, I think there were 50-odd for four or something along those lines, and he came in and said, well, I'm just going to go out and score some runs and save this game. And that's exactly what he did. But that, under incredible pressure, he did an incredible job, Gareth.
Well, he did. He's an exceptional bloke and somebody that I've admired for a long time and been lucky enough to have lots of conversations with him and spend a bit of time with him on a few tours and a few World Cups and things like that. But incredible guy. And I think what he's done is he's really shown leadership there, isn't he? He's taken on the leadership across the formats, built a really good relationship up with Mike Hessen, who's a very young coach, but an up-and-coming coach within New Zealand cricket. And he's led from the front, not just in that game, but also in the previous game, which his 200 in the previous game set up the 1-0 series win, effectively. But the pressure that he was under when he went into bat, and also the way he marshalled Watling and then the new chap, whose name escapes me at the moment, who's coming on debut and scored 100, yes, was absolutely phenomenal. To do it at one end is one thing, but to marshal your number 7 and number 8 to effectively bat for a day and a half as two partnerships is quite outstanding.
Okay, well, there's plenty more we can talk about that, but as I said, we're tight for time. So let's move on. Let's go on to the yes-no round. Three questions that can only be answered yes or no, no matter how much more that we want to say. And then once we've gone through the yes-no round, we're going to head straight into Berners' roving report. So that's going to be fun to catch up with Berners again this week and find out where he is in the world. So when you're ready, Gareth, let's do the yes-no round. First question. Team spirit means untroubled bonhomie.
No.
No. Thanks to Ed Smith for that lyrical sentence. Second question. Queensland and New Zealand prove batting holds the balance of power.
No.
Yes. Third question. Captains should earn support rather than demand loyalty.
Yes.
Yes.
We're at Abingdon School today, part of an elite academy that's running here in Oxfordshire, and I'm with Gordon Harris. Gordon, tell us a little bit about your main aims with the academy over this half-term period.
Well, a very high standard of cricket here, so it's more just tweaking finer skills, preparing boys for trials and things like that, more in getting them ready for like school scholarships and things like that.
And what sort of drills are you working on from a batting side of things? Are there common problems you see in the younger players?
Yeah, especially the younger ones, it's moving the head and shoulders together towards the ball, trying to make sure they don't flick their wrists when they're playing shots. And so we've got like cones they're not allowed to hit in certain areas that they've got to hit.
And from a bowling side of things, you're a bowler yourself. What sort of things are you working on with the bowling unit?
It's more focusing on what they're going to do next ball and bowling to plans rather than actual the bowling action. It's more actually getting them thinking about how they're going to get this batsman out and preparing them for games.
And from your side, coaching them here during this half-term period, do you feel that the benefits they kind of live on after the actual course? Is it do you get more contact with them during other times of the year?
Oh, definitely. Well, we've had a few sessions down at Lord's with them, and this is just because everyone's out of school, it's a good time to get them for a few days in a row so we can actually manage and get them to come back and work on new things that then they can now go away for the next few months and work on before the season actually starts.
Great stuff. Thanks, Gordon.
Time now for the mailbag. Couple of questions every week that are answered, and the best question of the week wins a prize, which is an online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And you can email your questions into us if you want those questions answered. You can do that on coach@pitchvision.com, and there's other ways to do it, which we'll tell you about towards the end of the show, but the email is probably the easiest one. So the first couple of long questions this week, Gareth, so hopefully we can give some good answers. First question's from Ben, and Ben says, I used to be quite a promising leg spinner. Then, after going to county training, they changed my action, cocking my wrist as I bowled. I've struggled to bowl a consistent leg break since. I've been working hard on releasing from the front of the hand, trying to get my leg break back, but it feels unnatural. Is there anything you can suggest to get this back?
Yeah, well, the starting point's got to be what you were doing before, because to obviously get to a level where you were spotted and worked on at county level, you were doing something right, and it won't be any surprise to listeners who tune in regularly that I'll be talking about what you were doing beforehand. You know, where were you? What did you do? Is there any video footage? Can you recall what the ball felt like coming out of the hand when you were coming up through the ranks to get to that stage of county cricket? I think the danger with any intervention is that we generally intervene around models. And again, this is a common theme. And one of the criticisms that we can label at coaches around the world, not just within England, is that we took on board the experiences that the great Terry Jenner had with Shane Warne. And a lot of coaching messages that I hear around the world around leg spin bowling are about those messages that went between Terry Jenner and Shane Warne and back again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the challenge that we have with that is that there's only ever been one Shane Warne in the history of cricket.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people have tried as well.
Yeah, there's the last 15 years, everybody's been trying to bowl like Shane Warne, who did cock his wrist and coming up short and coming a long way short. And it's really interesting to talk to the leg spinners in the subcontinent, for example, that maybe haven't had as much exposure to the Jenner type coaching and the Shane Warne type coaching that happened about 10-15 years ago, and they have different ways of doing it, and you only have to talk to somebody like Mushtaq Ahmed, who ran up and bowled very chest on, didn't he? Yeah, ran up very fast and bowled very chest on, a completely different model to that of Shane Warne. And then you only have to watch somebody like Anil Kumble, for example, who would run up and do things completely different from Shane Warne. Yeah. And to know that it's a very individual game that we play, and leg spin is incredibly individual, and you can work that out from the fact that we've only had three great bowlers or four great leg spin bowlers in the last 30 or 40 years. So find out what you were doing, get that feel of a ball in your hand again, go back to that release, and you can do that just by throwing the ball between your hands, and you'll get an idea of actually what works for you. The slight concern in your question is when you talk about the ball coming out the front of a hand. Now, when the ball comes out the front of a hand, we're generally trying to propel the ball with our wrist and our fingers. And obviously, our job of the wrist and the fingers is to rotate the ball. And the job of our bowling action is to get the ball to land in the right spot and get it down 22 yards to cause problems for the batter. So go back to the feel of the ball in your fingers and how you can get that ball to rotate, because the wrist and the fingers are rotation providers rather than speed providers.
And you can do that by starting really simply, just underarming the ball, can't you, Gareth? I mean, just for the feel of the fingers and the wrist, just start by underarming the ball against the wall and just get that feeling back that you had before, right? And then you can build it up gradually. It doesn't have to be off your full run up with full bowling action, does it?
Absolutely right, mate. And the great thing about doing that up against the wall is you get some feedback on your fingers, which gives you that sensory feedback. But also you get the feedback as the ball hits the ground or hits the wall and get the reaction off of that, which again gives you an idea of how much spin you're imparting on it. If you get a ball that's got a strong contrasting colour between the leather of the ball and the seam of the ball, then you get to see that rotation. So you'll be able to see that through your vision and see how that's rotating as well, and really build up what it was that got you to the point that you were at a few years ago. The coaching that you had was well intentioned, but it sounds to me that it's along the same model that most of us coaches have used for a long time, and that model generally has only fitted one or two people that I've worked with over a huge number of years now.
I was coaching in the week, and it wasn't leg spin. We were just talking generally about the bowling action to some younger bowlers who were just starting out on their cricketing journey. And I was talking about how you don't even need a ball in your hand if you want to get the feel for the different positions of the bowling action. You can just stand in a mirror and do it. And I said, you don't even need a ball. And from the back, the smallest lad, who's just about 9 years old, he went, you can use an apple. I thought that was brilliant.
Correct.
I don't know how his mum would feel about all his apples being bruised, but he was very pleased with himself.
Yeah, they'd be all right for Scrampy, mate. That's all I'd say on that.
Let's go on to the next question. And the next question is from Amit. And this one's even longer, Gareth, so settle in. He says, my name is Amit, and I'm an aspiring fast bowler from India. I'm left arm medium fast, and my bowling speed is close to 120. When I complete my run-up and start my bowling action, I begin my bowling action on the wrong foot, and that's why I don't get a jump into my action. I've been doing this mistake since I was a kid, and I've built up quite a good rhythm, which helps me get a decent pace in my bowling. I've tried correcting this flaw, but I didn't get the rhythm, and I also lost control. What should I do? Is this a flaw which should be corrected, or can I continue bowling with the same foot? I doubt I would not be allowed to play at higher levels because of this thing.
Well, my answer to that will probably be very similar to the one before, is keep doing what you're doing. 120 Ks is not to be sniffed at by any stretch of imagination, and it was interesting to see Ishant Sharma dropping down to those levels in the last test match, probably through fatigue, and he wasn't his most effective, but you're not far off being at the speed that's required to cause problems at the highest levels that you talk about. So to me, your bowling action is going to be your bowling action. And when you go, when you're bowling off a wrong foot, as it sounds like you're doing, it's only the wrong foot against convention. And there was a guy called Mike Proctor who did rather well bowling what was perceived as being off a wrong foot.
My question is, because it's not that clear, he says he begins his action on the wrong foot. So is he talking about jumping on the wrong foot, or is he talking about landing on the wrong foot?
Yeah, well, I think he's talking about jumping on the wrong foot, which is going to mean that he does land on the wrong foot.
Oh, it's both. Right, I'm with you. Yeah, okay.
Certainly, you know, it isn't clear, but I'm going to make that assumption.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening. So, you know, Mike Proctor, fantastic Zimbabwean and all-rounder who bowled the ball at a good rate of knots, who got the ball to swing most importantly and caused a heap of trouble. If you're looking for some YouTube footage, then he got four wickets and four balls against Hampshire down at Northlands Road 1 year. An incredible feat. But was a really good bowler, and he would have been in a similar position to yourself, Amit, where people would have told him all of the time that he was bowling off a wrong foot, but he stuck to his guns. And this comes back to the point that the great players listen to their body rather than listening to everybody. And so he kept going at it, and he got himself incredibly fit. And so he turned his 120 kilometres per hour up into at least the top end of 130s, and probably, looking back on the footage, although speed guns weren't around then, he'd have been up into the 140s by getting himself incredibly fit and strong. And I know that because he was best mates with Duncan Fletcher, and their fitness regimes back in the days when they were playing together were they were horrible. And they got themselves really fit, really strong. And as a result of that, he started to turn his 120 into real fast bowling pace. And of course, your action is very much part of you. And also, it will mess around with the timings of the batters, particularly when they first come into play against you. Whereas they've been trained to face conventional bowlers that land with their back foot normally, their front foot normally, and the timings in their batting get associated with the timings of the bowlers. And they won't be able to pick up, particularly at the beginning of their innings, your little idiosyncrasies. There was a guy called David Pryke who played for Natal, and he may have played a couple of international games or certainly some A games for South Africa, that also did this. He bowled and jumped off the wrong foot, landed on the wrong foot when he bowled, and as a result messed up every new batter that came in to face him at the beginning of their innings. He also bowled at a lively pace and got himself fit and strong. So to me, stick to what you're doing. Keep working at your skills, because if you can bowl at decent pace off a wrong foot and get the ball to move laterally, then that's a winner, and get really strong so you can start to push your 120 up into the 130s and then towards 140. If you can do that, then international cricket is not that far away from you.
There's other ways to bowl fast, right? Than just say, you know, having a traditional where you run in, you have a good jump to the crease, and you land on a certain foot. There's other ways to generate pace than just doing that. And although it's that is one factor that goes into it, there's other ones which can make up for if you're not doing that. And the proof is that there are people who can bowl very fast while also bowling off the back foot. So, you know, it could certainly be done. And then if you can add some movement to that as well, then it's not a huge problem. I guess you have to be slightly concerned. If he's got a slight concern that it might hinder his progress, maybe he might have been told that by someone important and influential somewhere along the line. That could be a worry, couldn't it?
Well, it could be, but the best way for doing that is to get loads of wickets. And if you get loads of wickets, then you'll make it. You know, even going back to the recent stuff in Australia and the fallout being Kevin Peterson, you know, not going to be playing international cricket again. If he'd have got 550 runs in the series, would we be having these conversations? And the chances are we wouldn't be. And performance is everything. So if you're bowling in your style and you're hitting the stumps and getting LBs and getting the ball to move laterally, then that will do the talking for you, I'd have thought.
Yeah, precisely. Okay, Amit, let us know how you get on. Stay in touch with us. We'd love to hear what kind of problems you face with that approach, what successes you get with that approach. and how things move forward for you. And that, in fact, that for anyone who's listening, if they want to let us know their story, we're always interested in the progress of cricketers, young and old, and also their coaches. So, you know, we're always happy to hear your story. So do get in touch with us. It's time now for the interview section on the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. And this week, I'm joined by Paul Nixon. Of course, you'll know the name, former international wicketkeeper and played county cricket for many years as well. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you, David.
Now, today we're going to be talking about the Paul Nixon Cricket Foundation, which is something that you've come up with to help young cricketers. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm working with in conjunction with a company, Paul, that called the PTC Group, and the guys basically approached me about looking at changing the way sort of further education works, really, because there's a great opportunity for kids aged 16 to 19 where they come on board, they do their cricket and live as a professional cricketer. Their lives are, you know, we've got access to good coaches, nutritionalists, strength and conditioning coaches. And also in the afternoon, they'll then do their BTECs, level one, level two. So they're doing education linked in as well as doing their cricket. So it's a wonderful opportunity for those guys who have perhaps been on, you know, throughout Leicestershire squads or age group squads at 16. Then they sadly get told that, you know, the devastating news that the club probably aren't going to take them any further from now. And, you know, a great opportunity for them to come to us. Also, guys, instead of going to university, they can come with us, or to colleges, they can come with us, and we are linked into those colleges, and you know, it goes on that on those particular colleges' results, and they come with us, and that's where we get our funding from. So it's a real nice model, and hopefully many kids can get them back in the system. Some kids won't be good enough to get in that system, but they want to further their cricket and their life skills, and you know, it's something that we want to be part of, being in the community a bit more as well.
So they think maybe that that they aren't going to quite make the grade as a county cricketer, perhaps, but they're still looking to stay involved in the game, maybe sports development somewhere in that area.
Absolutely, yeah, or coaching. But you know, we still think that between 16 and 19, there's a lot of development left, and there's a lot of guys, you know, hormones are flying around that time, as parents getting divorced, there's all sorts of things going in people's lives between 16 and 19, and they're crucial development stages, and we think that it's probably too young for counties to take people on at that stage to really commit and get everyone right. There's definitely people who are late developers, and we want to get hold of those late developers and change them and make them better players and work with them, and hopefully they will then go back in to the system. We have, you know, I've got great links with Leicestershire and all the counties, and it's about timing with counties. And if somebody's got a gap or a space, we can get those guys in and get some second team cricket and hopefully break through into the England, you know. And our dream is to for one of our guys from our academies to go through and play for England.
Well, that would be fantastic. And it's one of the most common questions that we get asked on the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. How do I make it? How do I get through to professional cricket? And I guess for players who have been in the setup and then have been discarded by the setup for whatever reasons, that's even harder to make your way back in, because psychologically it must be difficult to overcome that kind of a hurdle. What kind of advice would you give to a young player who maybe has been in a setup and then they get put to one side for various reasons? What advice can you give them if they want to try and get back on that train?
Yeah, it's a case of, you know, you need to have find out from you know, from the train that you're on, you know, from a Leicestershire or a first class county, why you'd hopefully that there'd be good communication of what the issues were that you need to address, and then you'd work with a good coach, and you want to try and get in touch with good coaches so then they can address those issues. They have that sort of elite standard and that mindset, so they can, you know, they shouldn't be able to make a difference. And for kids to come on board, then it's about addressing those issues and making sure that if it's something they really want to do, and not everybody wants to get, you know, back into first class cricket, we want to try and give them opportunity of having some you know, some work experience around linking with some local companies around Leicestershire and wherever else we're going to look to set up these the foundations around the country. My perfect dream is to, you know, put a Paul Collingwood in Durham, a Marcus Trescothick in Somerset, a Kevin Peterson in London, a Shane Warne in London, mm-hmm. or Hampshire, and link in with, you know, these world-class players and get those guys to come on board, because, you know, cricket and sport's a village, and if certainly cricket, you know, we all know everybody, and if we can help each other out, and, you know, different days they can come and have specialist sessions with these mega stars, then, you know, it's going to be inspirational, not just for their cricket, but if they want to coach down the line, or they want to be their own, you know, take their own business, it's going to give them great disciplines across all genres.
And you feel like it's possible to balance those things out. You don't need a single-minded focus on becoming a cricketer in order to be able to work on other things and have other avenues if you find that that particular one is not available to you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a case of we basically want to make sure that when people leave our foundation, they're more rounded people, and they've got an opportunity that they realise that they've got to be their own drivers in life, and they want to, you know, we want them to be almost managing directors of their own companies, whatever they do, and make themselves accountable and, you know, be good role models working forward.
So if someone was listening to this and thinking, that sounds like something I want to hear more about, how would they get in touch with the foundation?
Yeah, well, we're on Twitter, at Paul Nixon Cricket Foundation, I think it's on under there, and also the PTC Sports Group, who have got a website, and also PaulNixonCricket.com, my new website, which is live now. You can touch base with us, and we'll make sure that our partners link in with you, and we'll get all the details, and, you know, we'll give you a nice plan moving forward.
Well, it sounds like a really good opportunity for young players. So thanks very much for coming on the show today, Paul Nixon.
Thank you.
We were speaking about pressure earlier in the show, and now the pressure's on for Mark Garraway, because he's got 60 seconds. He needs to talk about something. What's it going to be? There's only one way to find out. It's this week's Soapbox.
Well, you're right, David. I am under pressure, and I'm going to go to somebody who stood up massively in the face of huge pressure in the last week, or 2 weeks, in fact, Brendan McCullum. Now, Brendan McCullum, for anybody that doesn't know too much about the bloke, has worked incredibly hard, both on his game and physically, to get himself into international cricket initially. And then, as everybody knows, the key to staying in international cricket, or the top of your game in international cricket, is to be able to adapt. Now, this guy is a swashbuckling 2020 player, but also he's now developed, and probably through becoming captain and taking on more responsibility, the ability to bat for huge lengths of time as well, and also to do it when the pressure is on. Now, who else do we turn to ever when we're under pressure? Our captain has to stand up, and this is what has brought the best out of Brendan McCullum. So a fantastic example for us, and if you're ever thinking about not taking on the captaincy, look at Brendan McCullum, take it on and let your game go to the next level.
And on that controversial, perhaps, note, we're going to end the show. Gareth, it's been a good one again, and we've whipped through quite a lot this week, so well done. I think we managed to squeeze it all into half an hour. But before we go, we need to decide on the winner of this week's prize, the online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And the questions were Ben, he was talking about leg spin, and Amit, and he was talking about a slightly unusual action. Which question did you prefer this week to win the prize?
Cool. I reckon this is one of our toughest ones for a while, actually, because the detail in there was fantastic in both examples, and it feels wrong to penalise somebody by not letting them have it. But that's the nature of competition, I suppose, and that's what we're after. This week I'm going to go with Ben's question, only because we answer so many questions about fast bowling, even though Amit's one was a little bit different this week, but Ben wins it this week for his leg spin question.
Congratulations, and that prize is winging its way to you. You can choose the one that you want from the list, and you can find out all the information about that at pitchvision.com/academy. Now then, for everybody else listening, if you want to send in your question, whether you're a coach or a player, we're happy to help you out as much as we can, and of course, you get the opportunity to win that prize. Gareth, what would they need to do to get in touch with us?
Well, they could give us a call on 0203 239 7543. Or drop us an email at coach@pitchvision.com.
You can also find us on Twitter. I'm at PitchVisionAcad, and I'm sure you can find Gareth with a quick search as well if you want to ask a question that way. If you want to head over to Facebook and stick something up there on Facebook, we're facebook.com/PitchVisionAcademy. So a lot of fun to be had there, posting articles, questions, discussing stuff, having a chat, answering questions, doing all kinds of fun things on Facebook there. And you can also listen to this show every week. You can subscribe in iTunes, of course, or you can head over to pitchvision.com/academy and you can click on the podcast link for all the details on how to add it to any other podcatching program that you want to. That's all for this week. We hope you listen next week. But until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth.
Cheers, Coach.